Blog Talk Radio.
Good man is on fire.
Which direction we are going?
Direct me El Camino. It would have been DWI.
A tipping point.
Hello and welcome to Tipping Point. My name is the popular and Cornelia Stephen Platinum, joined by Larry Goodman. Miss Rachel is not feeling well tonight, so she will not be here, but we have a number of other special guests, including Johnny Danger, who's going to join us in the second half of the show. Our guests tonight include Dan Masters, who is a part of all of the WrestleMania festivities, and, of course, Rielson Cruz, better known as Los Bandejos, as part of our series on tag teams. Larry Goodman, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing relatively well. I'm surprised Rachel is not doing well. I would think she'd be on top of the world after Saturday night.
Yes, on Saturday night, of course. Miss Rachel, who has been at Anarchy for quite some time, was joined by me. Not right away. I got to enjoy the entire show under the safety of a mask, courtesy of Phantom Troublemaker, a.k.a. El Fantasmus, who loaned me his mask so I could pull off a little bit of a ruse and sit in the crowd. Larry, what did you... a lot of people have read your report, but perhaps everybody hasn't. What did you think of Anarchy on Saturday?
Well, between Slim and Fred Yehi and what happened at the end of the show, I mean, pretty much off the charts between those two things. I mean, wow. I mean, and there was really nothing – well, I take it back. I was going to say there was nothing bad about the show. The tag, the Iron Man turmoil, not so much. But – yeah, the rest of the show, quite good. And I want to, go back to Slim and Fred Yehi. Wow, they've just knocked it out of the park in all of their matches and then topped it off with the best they've done yet. I mean, it's hard for me to believe we'll see a better match than that this year. From a technical standpoint, those guys are just made for each other, and it was just an absolute delight to see that match. But I did want to touch on, too, who says kayfabe is dead? Our listeners should be aware that Stephen Platinum went so far to make sure that nobody knew he was in the building and that yours truly didn't know he was in the building. He had this El Fantasmus guy message me to tell me he was coming to Anarchy for the first time and ask me a few questions. Just to put the icing on the cake, so I would not suspect that this masked man was Stephen Platinum. Ha ha, Stephen, very good.
Well, a little bit of the, wanted to bring a little bit of PCW to Anarchy, and nothing's more PCW than craziness and, risky deception. I got to say, I had a great time being in the crowd and just messing with people. My good friend David Garrison, who apparently won't be coming to the shows anymore. That's the sound of a violin playing. I made sure I talked to each and every one of his friends and asked them questions, and a couple of them interacted with me and said how they weren't used to seeing me on this side of the rail, meaning Fantasmus, because go to the monstrosity shows and all that kind of stuff. So I certainly had a good chuckle at a number of people's expenses. But again, I came out at the end of the show. Jeff G. Bailey, who had been very rude to me throughout the show, I just gave him a little drink, threw a little water at him, and he had Jagged Edge pull me over the rail. And at the point at which Jeff G. was going to punish me, took off the mask, realized it was me, and at that point, that's when the trap was sprung. Jagged struck Jeff G. Bailey, and then BJ Hancock delivered a pile driver to poor old Jeff G. One thing that I thought was interesting, Larry, is after Jeff G was pile driven, is how nobody came to his aid. Did you notice that? Everybody just left poor old Jeff G laying there right in the middle of the ring.
Well, now, I mean, he did get an assist later on after you and all your goons cleared out. Then he did get an assist, and he was carried to the back on a stretcher, actually. I mean, you know, he's pretty, just getting up there in years to take that kind of a move, you know, geez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my heart bleeds for him. Jeff, who has done a number of heinous things to Miss Rachel, in the last few weeks, him and Rachel engaged in striking one another. In fact, that was during the main event, which was also, I have to say, extremely stellar. The champion, Billy Buck, lost the title to Jagged Edge, who was accompanied at that time by Jeff G. Bailey and B.J. Hancock. And the three of them, I think Larry would agree, just put on not just a good match, but a great one. And near the end of that match, when Jeff G. and Rachel got into the ring, and Rachel started taking her earrings and shoes off, and Jeff was getting ready to rumble, that crowd was ready to see them tear into each other, but it was not to be. If I have my druthers, and I do, will never put his hands on Rachel again. It's just one of those things that I'm just stunned. The anarchy crowd, I mean, the reaction that Jeff G. has gotten over the last month has been of a conquering hero. After being this hated scumbag for 15 years, all of a sudden, they love Jeff G. Bailey, and they approve of him striking Miss Rachel. So I just thought it was time for me to do something about it, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, and I'm glad you did bring up that main event, because that was a beautifully constructed and worked three-way match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming from someone who's not a fan of three-way matches in general, but boy, that was well done. Exciting and really realistic the way it was put together. Yeah, hats off to all three of those guys.
I'm proud to have Jagged Edge on my side. He's a PCW guy through and through. But yeah, I'm really excited about Kevin Blue. I'm really excited about BJ Hancock. I'm excited about Azrael, who, again, turned on his partner Strychnine so that the Big F and Deal could win the tag titles, and has now rejoined Supernatural at Anarchy, where they're known as the Silent Kill Syndicate elsewhere. I don't know. I like my chances, Larry, and I'm going to be back there April 11th at Anarchy Wrestling, because I've got a few things I want to say. Bill Barons is going to give me a forum to speak, which is mighty white of him. And so I'm going to make sure I'm going to say my piece on April 11th, why I did what I did, and then I don't know what actions they're going to try to take. Frankly, I don't work for them. I don't plan on ever working for them. But if they're going to give me the forum, I'm happy to talk to them. So that's what's coming up 11th. Something else of note is I was in town for 4 days. I came in on Thursday. And by the way, hiding the fact that I was in Georgia 4 days was incredibly difficult. I was scared to death that somebody was going to say that I was there, but fortunately people didn't. But I attended Eastman's wake viewing on Thursday. I was not at his funeral on Friday because I had prior engagements on that Friday, but I was there on Thursday. And you know, Kidman has been a topic of conversation for the last two shows, and justifiably so. I have to say that I thought his viewing was remarkably well handled. The place that handled it just did a beautiful job. Wrestling fans turned out for it. I heard the funeral, like a ton of people came out. And you got to realize, it was in Albany, Georgia. So, you know, that's a haul for anybody. Like, I immediately from the wake went to Porterdale to run a training session with a bunch of new wrestlers. And, I mean, it was a three-hour drive to Porterdale from Albany. So it was quite a haul, but a lot of people turned out, including I got to meet Diane Hughes. Larry, do you want to talk about who Diane Hughes is for people that may not know?
Yes. Diane Hughes and her husband, Bill, purchased Great Champion. Well, it became Great Championship Wrestling from Jerry Oates kind of eased him out of the company and took that over there in Columbus, and then wound up moving to Phoenix City. And as they say, the rest is history. Quite a storied, lots of stories out of that place during her time running it. Most of them not very good.
Yeah, Diane Hughes, this is an interesting bit. One thing I don't like about events that are not wrestling related that involve pro wrestling people is, and again, I could get in trouble for saying this, but it's the truth, is many people in the pro wrestling business do not know how to conduct themselves in everyday functions. I don't know why that is, but it's simply the case. Now, granted, we're talking about Kidman's Wake, but Diane Hughes, for instance, whose real name is not Diane, I don't believe, but she would introduce herself as Diane Hughes of GCW. Now, I understand that there were a lot of wrestling people there, but the wrestling people were actually outnumbered, at least at the time I was there, by Kidman's own family. So I just thought that was strange. I introduced myself as Steve. Nothing more complicated than that. And she barely acknowledged me except to say, oh, you must be a wrestler. I can just sort of see it on you that you're a wrestler. And I didn't really acknowledge that. I had no desire to talk about the pro wrestling business in somebody's wake. So I just, you know, said my pleasantries and went. Later on, it was Kidman's mother who was extremely touched by the full disclosure piece I wrote about him. So she started, like, taking me around to his family going, you know, this is the person who wrote the thing about Joseph and blah, blah, blah. And so that was very nice to sort of get to interact with the family in that way. But then once Diane Hughes heard me introduced to Stephen Platinum, then she came over and wanted to talk more about wrestling. And it was just, I mean, I shouldn't put her out like that, but it was very odd, Larry. I just, you know, it's one of those where it's like, by the way, we're here to see Kidman. Whoever put those videos together, there was two videos, one that was like kind of a slideshow of pictures from his life that included a lot of like family photos, candid photos, as well as some wrestling shots. And then another one that sort of focused on his career and saying, thank you for entertaining us and all of that kind of stuff. Kidman was only 22 years old, Larry. He just had a birthday in January. And it really did strike me. I saw a couple of people who were there sort of mention that it was tough to see him there because it didn't, you know, it's, and maybe this is kind of, but in a way it didn't look like him at all. And so I think it's much better for people to sort of remember, of course he wasn't a wrestler, only a wrestler, but, you know, I'll always think of that guy who was just so full of potential and life and just this, I mean, and sometimes just this big goofy kid who seemed to have the world in the palm of his hand. Like, that's always the image that I think I'm going to have of Kidman.
Yeah, I do. Just one last thing about Kidman. I didn't post this, but online because Dan Masters had gotten so many views of it already on his own Facebook. But he posted that video of them in the car with Kidman imitating Kimbrough, which was pretty hilarious. He did a great job. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Dan Masters has it up on his site. But it was a really entertaining thing and a lighter side of Joey Kidman.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I wanted to go back to one thing from Anarchy, if we could.
Absolutely.
I was wondering about, you know, you alluded to it in the open, but that some fans literally are probably not going to come back. Just because you're involved there.
Yeah.
Just because you have had negative things to say about OSWA, specifically because of the piece you wrote about Zachary Blaine. Your thoughts about that?
I've got to be honest. I see it as a feather in my cap. I know people don't like me. Certainly, I'm less prone to play the game that everybody plays, which is to not alienate anybody. To me, that's Charles' job is to sort of bring people into the show. Bill's job is to run the show. My job is to go in there and do what I do. Now, guys like David Garrison and stuff, I don't know if you're that familiar with David Garrison and things that he posts. I'll just say this. David Garrison is one of these guys who constantly talks about the importance of the wrestling fan. Now, nobody will deny that wrestling fans are important and the lifeblood of the business and that kind of thing. However, if you ever read anything by him, and by the way, he functions as a heel manager at OSWA. So that already to me is an indictment of whatever, that he's typical of the guy who sits in the crowd, who thinks he knows a whole lot, who's then going to sort of get up and perform and knows more than everybody else. David Garrison's one of these guys. He's just one of the wrestling fans you hate, except for the fact that his check clears. He's one of the guys that's always going to sit there with his arms crossed, one of these guys that's always going to try to throw his weight around and constantly tell you, even the posts where he put out these sort of, I mean, it was reminiscent of a 14-year-old girl, just put these things out of, oh, I guess maybe a 13-year tradition is gone, sort of fishing for people to go, oh, no, David, oh, no. And he's like, I just don't know if I could be there anymore. And he's like, I brought a lot of people to the shows. I've only in wrestling do people want to be rewarded for being entertained in exchange for money. It's called buying a ticket. Anybody holds, you know, anybody who's gone to a football game sort of holds the NFL accountable. Like when, say, Philadelphia Eagles picked up Michael Vick, who was a controversial figure at the time. I don't think anybody would have expected the Eagles organization to be beholden to one fan that was upset about the fact that Michael Vick was on the team. I've always said this. I think wrestling fans have a sense of entitlement that, quite frankly, outstrips their importance. And I think we could see that in Raw last night. That crowd, while it's a post-mania crowd's always great in one way, in another way, they're horrible. I mean, they just feel entitled. I spent all this money on WrestleMania, and I stayed in town for Raw, so I'm going to hijack this show and wreck it. And what's worse is people in wrestling encourage it. Aren't they a great crowd? Aren't they wonderful? When I find the opposite to be true, I think that line of, You're here watching the show. We're here doing the show. When that line moves too far one way, I don't think it serves anybody. And if David Garrison's trying to hold up anarchy or trying to use leverage with Charles of, you know, if he's there, I won't be there. I mean, David Garrison, who had always said, if Stephen Platinum's there, I won't be there. I was there before, was I not? I was there a month and a half ago. So he wasn't true to his word then. I think he was hoping that it was just a one-time thing. Well, tough titty, kitty. I'm there, and there's no locker room, no wrestling locker room in wrestling that I don't get to walk into. And that includes Anarchy. And while it's a shame, I have a feeling that, you know, David Garrison himself had said, you know, wrestling is changing in this area, meaning when Charles bought it, he was hoping that basically Anarchy would become Southern Fried Wrestling, Cornelia. And it's not. And you know what? I hope it never will. Frankly, Anarchy, I mean, the whole reason I want to be there is because they're Anarchy Wrestling, which traces its lineage to Wildside, which traces its lineage to NRW. That's what I want to be part of. That's whose ass I want to kick. I don't want to kick Southern Fried's ass. That's not a challenge for me. I want Anarchy. And the true Anarchy faithful, the real fans, that lady who was losing her mind, the real Anarchy fan, if they care about Anarchy, they will show up in force, because guess what? Anarchy is going to need them. I sure as hell know. That's my position on that.
Well, yeah, and that lady will sure as hell be showing up to hate you. No question about it. We do have, I believe we have our guests on the line, Steve.
Oh, fantastic. Please allow me to introduce them. They are, I mean, these are the first guys I saw when I went to Florida that I was blown away by and had to have a CCW. They are known as Rios and Cruz. They are Los Bendejo. How are you guys doing tonight?
Are we on?
Yeah,
you're
on.
You
moron. Stephen Platinum just gave us one of the best introductions that we've possibly may have gotten probably in the last 7.5-8 years, and you don't even know if we're on or not. What's the matter with you?
Here's the thing. I'm on vacation till Saturday, so, you know. But, no, I really appreciate it. Thank you for, like, having us on. That's awesome.
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you. This is Stephen Platinum. I want to start off with this question. Once upon a time, I wanted to book. I was told that you guys do not accept bookings without the other. You guys will not be booked just one-on-one. I was curious of why that is, and if that's a response. What's the reason that you have to be booked as a tag team? What is your thinking behind that?
Well, for us, we've taken great strides since the inception of our team. You know, we were both trained by two tag team Hall of Famers. You know, we were trained by Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley, and they've always instilled in us that if you believe in your product, you believe in yourself, then you should establish yourselves as such. And throughout our career together, we realized that on our own, we're pretty good, but together we're great. And we offer this premium entertainment when we're in the ring, whether it be through our high flying ability or through our characters. We bring so much to the table. We feel together that it'd be a shame just to, you know, separate us. And, you know, we do want to establish ourselves as a tag team. We want to make sure that people worldwide, not just in the States, but people across the world know who Los Pendejos are, which is why we've made it a point to stay together. It's very rare that you'll see us on a show without one another.
And for our listeners and to help sort it out, is this Cruz speaking or Rios?
This is Rios.
Okay, let's go to Cruz.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm sorry. I was in a very loud place. Hey, no. The reason, yeah, like, Jay hit it, you know, hit the nail on the head. If you're a tag team, you know, present yourself as such. And then everyone else will, you know, follow your lead and see, oh, they're a tag team. They're not two singles guys just thrown together who happen to be in the same match, you know. Separately, yeah, we absolutely, like, I think we both have our strengths, we both have weaknesses, but guess what, once we're together, there's nothing that can stop us whatsoever. So, like, it's the analogy that, you know, Bubba and Devon, our trainers, gave us. Like, when they were separated, sure, they were great, they're great, great singles guys, but they always want to see, who do you want to see? Dudley Boys. You don't want to see Devon by himself, Bubba by himself. You want to see Dudley Boys. That's what's got him to the dance, and that's what's going to make him to, you know, keep him going. So that's exactly what we've adopted. And it's really rare we do singles. You know, if it makes sense context-wise within the story or within the show itself, or one of us is injured and the other one, you know, it's free to do it, absolutely. But, yeah, it's really rare, and you probably won't see a lot of single stuff unless it's absolutely necessary.
I'm curious what caused you guys to dedicate yourself to tag team wrestling in an era when, you know, it hasn't been, you know, the thing for guys to team up and stay as a team over the long haul like you guys have.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you guys right now, this is Rios talking. Cruz and I got put together on complete accident, and some people may call it, you know, fate. I remember when we were both in training and Cruz was in the advanced class over at the Team 3D Academy, and I had just gotten bumped up to the advanced class from the beginners, and I remember Bubba and Devon just, you know, doing what we normally do during training. They put matches together for the students so they can kind of see where, you know, our ability is, whether to tell a story, whether, you know, whatever we do makes sense. And by luck of the draw, they ended up putting me with Cruz that night, and I knew that he was already somewhat established as having his own character. And me being green as green can possibly be, I had no idea what I was really doing. I just played off of whatever he was doing, and I apparently did it so well that, you know, at the end of our match, you know, not only did I play off of him well and together we seemed that we had good characters together, but in the ring with the moves and everything, like we clicked immediately. And once the match was done, I remember Bubba and his infamous sitting pose looking at us with this look that only Bubba Ray Dudley could give and saying, "You guys have never teamed before?" And I go, "No." "Well, now you're a tag team. You guys are going to be Los Pendejos." And it stemmed from there. And, you know, we made our debut, I think it was 2008, 2009. And it's been full steam ahead since then. I mean, there's been so many times where we've been told no because of our size, or there's been so many times where we've been looked past because, you know, people just felt that we didn't belong and whatnot. And we've always made it a point to show anyone and everyone, whether it's the fans that are in attendance, whether it's the people that we're working with, or the bookers that are putting us on their shows, that when you bring us to your show, when you bring us to your town, your state, that you're going to get one hell of a show for us.
So maybe over age. Just want to give a call and speak to do the effort. I don't have what we call it.
Hello. There we go. I had a question for you, to Stephen Platinum. So one of the things it wasn't just that you guys were this spectacular tag team. I was definitely part of it when I first at various. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. You broke up on
okay.
me a little bit.
One of the things that I think this is enough credit for. You guys, it's every little thing. It's the ability to, I've heard you guys cut promos. I've heard you guys, like, put over emotional angles, like at FIP and things like that. And I just go, God, these guys just have everything down. Do you think sometimes you get, do you think that you get sort of pigeonholed or limited because people just see you as sort of this, like, lucha-style tag team, that they don't open themselves up to change all the facets of your very complete game?
I mean, with like, everything, any aspect of life, like, you can't stay stagnant. You have to evolve in everything you do, you know? There comes to a point where, you know, you either take a step forward or be comfortable. Trust me, there's been times where I've been scared, you know, can I cuss on this? I'm not going to. I'll be nice. I'd be terribly scared about, you know, cutting a certain promo or going in a direction that we're not really comfortable with. We've never been, you know, done certain things. At the same time, you have to show versatility. And that's what Jay and I pride ourselves in, that, you know, we can flip, flop, fly if you need us, if you want us to. We prefer not to because we enjoy, you know, being able to go to the beach and hanging out and not having a broken body, you know.
Yeah,
but
we enjoy.
You know, we can also cut, you know, heartfelt promos. We can get something, you know, get an emotional story over, or you know, what have you? You know, it's all about versatility.
Hello.
Hello.
We're here. Bendejo's
Hello.
Here.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Hello?
I'm here.
what's going on.
I'm not sure. I think they're called drop.
Oh. Well, all right.
What are your guys' goals for 2015, 2016? You've been together for a number of years now. What are your goals now?
I mean, we've been going forward. There'll be days where we find ourselves in these situations where we find opportunities that we come across, things that we've earned, and we're not really sure how to deal or how to handle the situation. We just need to go forward, and that's kind of what we're taking in with us into 2015, and you know, for many years to come, as long as our bodies will allow us to do this for. I mean, the start of the year. I mean, we've already been asked. You know, we were on TNA One Night Only.
Yeah.
A few months ago, back in actually February, you know, Cruz and I both participated in the exhibition pay-per-view for TNA, and you know, things are just looking much, much better for us as time progresses.
Can you describe the TNA experience? I went to a bunch of those tapings for those various pay-per-views that they taped. What was that like? I noticed there were a number of Florida guys there. The one pay-per-view that I saw, one of the pay-per-views that I saw was sort of a variation of their gut check thing. And, like, seeing John Davis there, wrestling MVP, was such a thrill for me. Because, again, it's these guys that I've seen since I've been in Florida. What was that experience like for you guys? What was the atmosphere like backstage and all of that kind of stuff?
Man, go ahead, Chris.
Going in, I personally, since I believe I'm a little bit more jaded than Jay, like I went in like a little apprehensive, just because I just viewed it as, all right, well, they just need bodies here and there, and we'll just get thrown around for 2 minutes and then, you know, collect the pitch and go home. But as soon as we got there, like, they treated us as a member of the roster. Like, we had our individual matches. We had, you know, three-way exhibition matches, and at least, you know, from what I gathered, like, they just treated us like equals, you know. We had our guys just tell us, hey, this is your time to shine. What do you want to do? And these are guys that you're getting paid to be there, you know. They're contracted, you know, week in, week out.
Right.
And we were treated just like guys who are their peers, and that actually made us feel a little bit more comfortable, which allowed us to wrestle and to do the best in our ability to try to impress, you know. And we got invited back, which, so I guess we did some sort of a good job. We felt part of the roster, and the fact that they were so welcoming, and that they already had, you know, they came to us. We didn't come to them. So that right there tells us that we've been doing something right.
Absolutely. I mean, always being on a radar of that magnitude. I mean, people say what they want about TNA. They have an incredible roster. The fact that they came out reaching for us to be on a pay-per-view that pardon the sirens, guys. To be on a pay-per-view that.
Hello.
What can you guys? Yep, I'm here. Are we good?
I'm here. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Bendejos are here if you can hear us.
Oh, she's hot. Whoops. Hello?
Hello.
Are we back?
Yes, we are. We're actually having a little bit of technical difficulties. If
okay.
It's cool, I would like to bring you guys on again very soon, maybe next week or the week after, just to make sure we've got everything, like, clean and in order. I don't know. This has never happened before. So I blame...
Yeah, that's fine. That sounds good.
I blame, and plus you didn't get to talk to Miss Rachel, who I know is a big fan, who you got to see definitely at the last couple of Sacred Ground events. But
I just
wanted to tell you guys, I really am just a huge fan. You've been the reason that I've gone out of my way to attend shows when I was in Florida. When I moved to Florida, I really, different guys were like, oh, you got to go out to shows and blah, blah, blah. And I honestly had very little urge because wrestling is just such a big part of my life all the time. And I have to watch so much of it, talk so much about it. When I went to his first show and when I saw you guys, I'm like, God, it's so nice to see something different and something pro, and you guys are just the best. So I definitely would love to have you on again soon, if that's cool.
Absolutely, man.
Cool.
Yeah, just drop us a line, let us know on that. We'll definitely make time.
And where are you guys going to be? Where's the place that you're working soon?
We've got next Saturday, April 11th, we'll be at Ring Warriors. It's downtown Miami, or actually North Miami, actually. It's
mm-hmm.
a big TV taping. They're back for the international market. So we're doing two tapings for them. We've got a couple of dates we can't really talk about just yet. Just want to confirm before, letting the information out. Our next show will be Ring Warriors. We're going back to pro wrestling now in Fayetteville, North Carolina pretty soon. If you guys would go to losbendejos.com, we have a whole list of updates and stuff like that. You guys can see it at.
All right. Yes, definitely check out losbendejos.com. I have one of the best of Los Bendejos DVDs and a t-shirt that my kid has now stolen and wears all the time to bed. So definitely
awesome.
Go check out their merchandise and check them out when you can, when they are near you. Thank you very much, guys. That was Los Bendejos.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, guys. See you next week.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Larry, are you there?
Yes, who's this?
I say we should just take over the broadcast. I mean, we're on the air, but it's just you and I.
Yeah, Blog Talk completely failed. It just went dead.
I bet it's still recording, so we'll sound real smart if we just keep rolling on like nothing's going on here.
So
maybe you should introduce me. Had I known I was on the air, I would have just taken over this thing.
Well,
was talking to myself. Here we go. 3, 2. We'll edit this out in post, okay?
Joining us now from the Sunshine State. No, that's not the Sunshine State. Joining us now from West Coast. It's fresh off the WrestleMania weekend. We have Mr. Dan Masters. Tell us all about it, Mr. Masters.
You never cease to amaze me in the respect that I get from my peers and what I once called friends over there in the Peach State of Georgia, as you guys have completely turned this into a train wreck. You know, you do realize if you would have kept me in the A-list, the first place position, we would have ran through my interview without any issues. You bump me to the second spot on the couch, and all kinds of hell breaks loose on here.
Yeah, that'll teach us, right?
Winding down the WrestleMania weekend now as I'm cruising down the 101. It's a sunny 77 degrees. The ocean's on my right. I'm in the back seat of a Charger on my way to my car, and then I'll sit in traffic for 2 hours headed back to the LBC. But it was all worth it because the stories in the book I could write on just one weekend of activity.
Well, thrill us with some of these stories, please.
You know what would really thrill me is if this never airs anywhere and it's just the two of us having a little conversation.
Well, it may very well turn out that way. I don't know if this
just,
is recording or not. I have no idea.
We should do call Jonathan Williams and really turn up the excitement level.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get him on here. I mean, anything for a little excitement at this point.
I guess you just want kind of an abbreviated version of my life's events the past few hours, huh?
If you don't mind.
Friday, got in the van around 8 a.m., left Long Beach, California, and made our way up for the six-hour journey. I was supposed to be an eight-person van, ended up being a five-person car with six guys in it. So, including my luggage, it was a pretty uncomfortable ride, but made it there. I was told I had my name left on the guest list at a hotel, so I wouldn't have to sleep on the floor. And that's where you jump in and say, "Oh yeah, tell us what happened there. Who'd you room with? How'd that go?"
Yeah, Dan, would you want to tell us who you roomed with and how that went? I think we're rejoined now by Steve Platinum, by the way.
God, Steve Platinum.
Save us. Don't talk to me. I want to hear about this.
Save us. Only Dan Masters could end up in a room with a Hall of Famer. Oh, really? A Hall of Famer? Yeah, Larry, a Hall of Famer from the WWE, and not just any Hall of Famer, but a female Hall of Famer. The youngest inductee ever. The only woman alive that was the most downloaded, I think, diva in history. Sonny, my roommate for the weekend. Am I still interviewing myself, Steve Platinum? Please jump in.
No, I'm listening. I want details, brother man. I want details, brother man. So you're in a hotel room with Sonny, the object of many a fantasy, right?
Right.
I'm not gonna ask you to besmirch her honor or anything like that, but
she still has honor.
be honest. Like, what's going through your mind when it's confirmed that you're going to be her roommate? I mean, is it just business as usual for the old Dan Masters, or are you thinking like, oh my God, this is insane?
What's for breakfast or dessert, more rather? No, she's a sweetheart, and she she's paid her dues, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
No, it's just a good time. We've hung out a few times, but and joked about actually her moving here. But roommates for the weekend turned into an interesting activity. I saw very little of her unless it was the wee hours of the morning when she came in or I came in. And I'll just say there was always breakfast on the table, whether I ordered something or not. She would order two of hers and even gave me money. Get this, gave me money to go out and entertain myself for a few hours. So that was cool.
That is cool.
She's
cool.
In L.A., oddly enough. I'm riding back. I'm still not home, but she's been in L.A. the past few days doing a project in L.A., so I hope to catch her before she goes back to New Jersey tonight, late night.
I have a question. I didn't catch the beginning of your interview because of the technical difficulties that we had, but...
It was okay. You actually did catch the beginning, and I was interviewing myself for about a minute and a half.
Only you could pull that off, though. But
Larry, the one time in his life, Larry Goodman was speechless. He's got plenty of questions when it's just he and I on the phone, but when there's an interview going down, he just sits there with his thumb in his mouth. Or something. I think it's his thumb. I don't know.
I'm struggling with technical breakdowns here. Come on, man.
I went to ROH on Friday night, by the way, my first as a fan attending ROH, and invited guest of Corky Franks. Oddly enough, Corky Franks from the Carolinas, one of my favorite ring announcers, was the host ring announcer of the ROH live event there. Sold out, wall to wall, standing room only. I caught the first, I'd say, hour and a half of it, and I was very impressed. The heat in the building, it was loud, and I guess that's just what happens at every ROH show, but like I said, it was my first time going as a fan, so Corky did a great job. And I got a question. What's up with Bobby Cruz not being there?
Larry, you want to feel that one?
Well, he doesn't do all the road shows.
He doesn't?
Cruz?
I mean,
no.
This is their big WrestleMania weekend. Wouldn't you think they would have had?
I would think.
Maybe I'm just looking too deep into things.
I would think, but he doesn't do all of them, so.
So following that, I ran into Ryan Satin and Alicia Way there, and they said, "Hey, we're going to NXT." Nope. Had to make the trip over to see RVD do one of two late-night comedy sets hosted by Colt Cabana and several other comedians. Rob did a 30-minute set there.
Wow.
Well attended. the $45 front row tickets for that thing. And then what did I do after that? Went back to the hotel. You guys have to refresh my memory. I don't remember where I was.
Dan, I had a question for you.
Yeah, just
You know, you had this, like, over-the-top great wrestling weekend, clearly.
Yeah, but so clearly Diane Hughes had nothing to do with it.
Who are you telling? What is the indelible image that you're pulling away from this weekend as you're going home? Like, what's the thing that you think you're going to remember for some time to come?
It's the one thing that I can say on the air is it's a shame we've got to wait a year to do it again. I just random thoughts. Most recently, last night's Raw was the fans and their hijacking of the show. They have no respect for the product at this point. I mean, they love NXT, obviously, but I don't know. I was looking over at Bill Lawton, who spent 30 years being a photographer of the Japanese press, and I just look over and I said, I think it's done. Is it over? Are we done? Are we dead yet? Got to be coming soon. I just don't know what to make of it. I mean, I don't think, I will say this, I don't think any of the conventions, whether it be the WWN experience, and I'm not on the financial side, but I don't think High Spots profited. WWE no doubt profited, but I don't think any of the other weekend activities made a profit or turned a profit or at least close to what they did last year.
Right.
The numbers last year, and I think it's a California thing. California's broke. I think Texas will be turned right back around and be super successful next year.
Oh, wow, that's an interesting perspective. I think you're probably right on the money with that one.
Yeah, I mean, the photo ops, things like that. I think it was a California thing. I really do.
Well, you know, the WWE has gone through great lengths to kind of try to stop people from piggybacking or coattailing on WrestleMania. Obviously, there's only so much you can do about that kind of thing. It's free enterprise, but do you think that trend is going to continue, or do you think that they're going to kind of like loosen up a little bit and just kind of focus on WrestleMania? I mean, because WrestleMania is going to be a runaway success. I mean, next year they're going for over 100,000, right?
Yeah,
100,000
people. And the city is going to be so strong. I mean, I don't think there's a way to block a WrestleCon, and I do think, no doubt, they'll do it again next year. The WWN guys, too, they've got China tours and all kinds of stuff going on. So I don't think it's enough to, I mean, it's a punch to the gut to not be as financial. Like, I don't know what they expected going in, but I'm sure they didn't expect it to end the way it did this time around. And yeah. I don't think WWE really is concerned. I mean, yeah, they tried to block but couldn't that time be spent planning a better friends and family section for those that do attend WrestleMania, because this year for the first time they had a bullshit friends and family area, so much so that I gave up on that and just sat in the catering room for an hour and a half. I don't know. I think because that's the one time a year that the guys under contract can bring their family and they can all hang out together and socialize, and they didn't really have that environment this year. At least it wasn't up to standards, I would say.
Right.
They did have an open bar at the after party, though. Not that I participated, but they did have one. They did have one. I am amazed that the talents could perform on Monday Night Raw after the party that took place Sunday night.
Yeah. I mean, that's all part of being young, right? That's why you want to bring young guys up from NXT, because they can hang.
I saw Rusev's mom and dad at a table with, like, I didn't see any food from catering at their table, just shots,
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the gentleman actually had a wheelchair, so he wasn't worried. I ain't worried about nothing. I mean, he was just I mean,
he's like,
yeah.
I got a designated pusher. I'm good.
Exactly.
Larry, did you have any other questions for Dan?
Well, we were talking about Texas next year. I understood WWE was already taking steps to lock up as many of the venues as possible and keep other events from being anywhere close to WrestleMania to the extent that they can.
I bet we will not see a match on WrestleMania next year that would compare to the RVD Sabu versus the Hardys at WrestleCon this year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, those guys blew the roof off the place. It was unbelievable. I was, like, literally ringside, like, standing beside the ring, taping for RVD's Tweet Secret. And I was blown away. I've never seen a match like that. So Sabu can still go. I think WWE needs to pick him up. Hey, what do you guys, on another note, there was the buzz over the weekend was about folks talking about Jeff Jarrett and his new company. And I asked RVD if he had heard anything, and Jeff has called and reached out. But I guess there's a budget there that's just not going to make that happen. So you won't see RVD in a Global Force ring. But
right.
I do plan on attending the taping in Vegas. That should be interesting. Saturday night, WrestleCon, the matches were solid from top to bottom. If you didn't see the results, you have to check. Maybe the hot tub guy has some results up and some hot tub reviews. But the place was full, and Tommy Dreamer put together all the matches. I don't know if that's out there, but, yeah, solid stuff.
Well, that's fantastic.
Well, I rode to WrestleMania, but oh, here's an interesting story. I had two tickets for WrestleMania. I sold them outside the building, and the guy that bought them from me paid me with fake 50s. So now, here's my question for each of you. Do you try to pass those fake 50s off on someone else in life, or do you burn them, throw them away?
Take the high road, Dan. Take the high road.
No, Dan, what you do with the – don't. What does Larry know about this kind of thing? No. What you do is you take the 50s, you try to acquire as many fake bills as you can, and then you run a wrestling show and blow all of it.
I was thinking if I did anything with them, I'd spend them at the Asian massage. Surely they don't check those type things, you know?
You know, on the contrary, I don't know if you're gonna slip anything past my people when it comes to money or numbers, but I bet you
all
Ron
the bills,
Gossett would. I bet you Ron Gossett would pick up the phone if you wanted to back him. I think he'd pick up the phone.
Check this: all the bills had the same serial number. For God's sake!
Oh, I hate a lazy counterfeiter. My God, that's terrible.
But it was a good. It was an overall fun experience. I mean, how I ended up going to WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I still made it into WrestleMania. I rode into WrestleMania on a golf cart. The matches had already gotten underway. I rode actually down to the building with RVD on the public transit, the train. We got mobbed going down there. We finally get to the gate. They call security. They bring a golf cart to pick us up. We literally took the golf cart into the building to cater. I mean, it was like the best, the most VIP treatment I think I've ever received. So all's well that ends well.
Well, that's fantastic, Dan.
Hey,
know,
Diane Hughes, I'm gonna send you some 50s in the mail, kid.
Well, they can finish the work that's being done on her face, apparently. Dan, it's always great to talk to you. I'm sure we will talk to you again very soon. Any parting words of where you're gonna be?
I just posted some photos and videos and stuff on the Instagram and Facebook, Dan Masters Live or Real Dan Masters on Twitter. You can follow me. By the way, if you're not following me on Twitter, you should join the likes of Danny Trejo, Melissa Joan Hart, Sonny, RVD, and others, and do so.
Fantastic.
There's got to be a reason Danny Trejo and Melissa Joan Hart just started following me last week, right?
That's right.
Hey, Dan, before we let you go, this train wreck is now being joined by Trent Van Dries from Louisville. Are we on the air, Trent?
Oh,
can you hear us at all?
On and off, if Stephen Platinum's fucking phone wouldn't quit fucking the goddamn show up.
Hey, Trent, I got some news. I got some news. You know, you heard this about Burt Prentice running his big, supposedly the biggest event he's ever booked.
Really?
Yeah, you hadn't seen any of the info on his social media?
No, I have not. Enlighten me.
I saw Burt Prentice several times over the weekend, and
I bet you did.
I don't know what talent he's announced, but I mean, there could be a rumor out there that sometime during the future on some event, the Hardys are going to be wrestling for the first time ever, the Rock and Roll Express. How's that for a dream match? At least a dream in Jeff Hardy's eye. So I don't know. That may take place. Who knows?
Interesting. Well, since this is such a disjointed train wreck, Dan, I have a question for you that only you can answer. And
yes, Trent. Mike Rapata will also be on the card, Sabu and others.
That's not my question. My question has nothing to do with nothing, but I know that you know, okay, Dan? This is my question, all right?
There isn't a whole lot that I don't know, to be honest with you.
As a longtime fan of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, I just want to know, was Danielle Martinez a shoot?
Was she a shoot? She's Shelly's sister.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, just that character she played, that dingy, lovable character. I loved it. Was that her?
You know, I don't know her that well, to be honest with you.
Hey, was Danielle Martinez a shoot, her character on Hollywood, or is that how she really is?
I don't know. No one in the car knows.
I thought you knew everything, Dan.
Well, I don't hang out with that. She's too young for me.
Okay, well...
Yeah.
By the way, hello,
I thought
Larry.
You were going to ask me how can I watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I was going to say get on the Patron site and pay $2 a month. Good luck finding it.
I got in when it was $1 a month.
So the same here, the last spot. I hadn't watched one episode on my subscription.
Anyway, I'm done.
Well, we're all about done, I think, with the way this show's gone.
Sounds like it. What a train wreck.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Done in by
Block
Talk.
How is Block Talk Radio still in business after all these years? You know, RVD used to do a show on Block Talk Radio, and it was the same thing. Every show has the same technical difficulties.
Well, no, it was funny. This time, to answer your question, you guys were on the air, then you left the air, then you came back on the air, and then nobody was on the air except Los Bandejos. Who kept saying, Bandejos are here. Bandejos are here. And then Platinum would come back on, and Stephen Platinum's phone was ringing, and he was answering his own phone, and it was just,
Shit.
Hey, I saw Tessa Blanchard at Mania and Catering and at Raw. She was also there. That was pretty cool. I don't know if she did anything on camera, but she was there.
Johnny Danger, are you on the line, too?
If it's a train wreck, I got to be here, Larry.
Oh, God.
I heard the name Sonny and Melissa Joan Hart and had to call in.
Nicely done.
Thank you, boss.
Well, you know, this is a bit too much of a sausage party, so if Dan, we've parted ways, but we'll definitely have him on again if we can get to the next part. Larry, did we play our sponsor yet, by chance?
No, we have not played the sponsor. We completely crapped out at that point in the show, so no, that is not played.
Shall I
hold the sponsor for next time, or go ahead?
I think we should go ahead and play that sponsor. As a reward to anybody who stuck through this far. And then maybe we'll let them sponsor next week's show again. But
great idea. All right, let's...
This is the Von Erichs Family Steakhouse. And then we'll be back right after that.
Are you craving meat? Then maybe it's time you came to the Von Erich Family Steakhouse. I'm Kevin Von Erich, owner and operator of Von Erich Steaks, where we serve only the finest Texas beef, and we've got a steak for everyone's taste. Try our 32-ounce T-bone, the David, the finest, juiciest, most over steak in the place, which was destined to win the Steak World Championship, but never got the chance. Or how about the Carry, the 20-ounce ribeye that's got a lot of sizzle, but not as much of the steak. On a diet, try Kevin, a 12-ounce lean cut of sirloin that comes barefooted. Maybe you're into hamburgers. How about the Heaven Needed a Hamburger, a.k.a. the Mike? Or take the ultimate meat challenge, the Fritz. 42 ounces of tough, mean, grizzled, thick, burned, nasty, mean beef. It's like chewing on an old tire. Or, for the vegetarian option, the Lance, which isn't meat or Von Erich at all. At Von Erich Family Steakhouse, we got something for everyone. So come on down and see us at the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas. Von Erich's, our steaks will put a claw hold on your stomach.
Oh,
get a hamburger. Oh, God. And the Lance is not me or a Von Erich at all. Fucking tremendous. Tremendous. Well, it's Trent. Are you still on the line with us?
I certainly am, Stephen.
Oh, yes. Johnny, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, fantastic. Well, Larry, if you're still here, next week, assuming Blog Talk Radio has their stuff together, we're going to have Reverend Dan Wilson, and he's going to bring in one of his favorite tag teams of all time. He hasn't told me which one yet. It could be Azrael and Tempers, or it could be Tank and Iceberg. We'll have to wait and see which lethal combination that Reverend Dan is going to bring in. But we're actually doing a new segment, and I'm glad that Johnny and Trent are on the line because you can help us with it. It's a new game that we're going to play called Izzy High, where we're going to listen to an old promo from the 70s or 80s, and then afterwards we're going to discuss whether we think the wrestler was high off his ass while he was giving the promo. And for our first one, I believe it's the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, at the time at which he was teaming with Rick Rude and managed by Paul Jones. So here's our new segment, is the
It's time to play Is He
Talked about a fucking pound of weed and played a bunch of video games.
Weed is tight. Weed is tight. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Weed is awesome.
Pushing away. How about it, bro?
Hey, get in. When you talk about R&R, you said some Shivani. You said Anonymous. This is Anonymous. The most awesome team you've seen in professional wrestling today. Right or wrong?
You're
right, Daddy, because the heavy metal's around that way. So rock and roll, you go on and sing your blues, baby. Because Punky Morton, you get in my face, and I'm going to rip your soul right out. And you'll never sing again. And Road Warriors, you call yourself the Legion of Doom. Well, destruction is what we do, and awesome is our name. So the awesome twosome is coming at you. We're not stopping, Jack, because we are world champions for one reason. Because we're totally, totally awesome. And ain't nobody, not even you, Warriors, or Dream, or Chiquita, can touch these two. Because if you want us, Daddy, we ain't hard to find. And you don't have to look in the yellow pages. Just call Mr. Jones, and you'll know that when we come to town, R&R is here to stay, and rock and roll just went away. Because you know why? Because I'll sing to you, Morton. Shot through the heart, and weren't you blamed? Because we give rock and roll a bad name.
Bon Jovi reference there at the end. Trent Ben Dries is Manny Fernandez high.
Yes.
Johnny Danger is Manny Fernandez high.
On a scale of Bob Backlund to the Iron Sheik, I give him a Roddy Piper.
Larry Goodman is the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez high.
Being that this was probably shot at the TBS studio on Techwood on Saturday morning, I'm
nicely
voting
done, yes.
Hungover.
You're voting hungover. Ooh. Nicely done. Look at Sherlock Holmes up in this bitch. He's like, I'm going to say he was definitely high. He's Manny fucking Fernandez. Ladies and gentlemen, for Trent Hendry, Johnny Danger, Larry Goodman, I'm Stephen Platinum. Next week, we will hopefully be joined by Miss Rachel once again, so my sexuality is no longer in question. Thank you from all of us at Tipping Point.
And hopefully we'll be on the fucking air next week.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. A production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information
when I got
on upcoming
the call
news and more.
From the Blog Talk Radio
always,
board
thank you for your
to my phone,
report.
I was like, that one really threw me. Like, I'm getting a call from a 347 number.
I was
what's
grasping
happening?
At straws. Steve, I was grasping at straws trying to figure out what to do.
I blame Trent. I'm blaming Trent. I think it's Trent who made it so Doc Gayton didn't want to run at Rampage anymore because of that interview way back when. So I'm putting it all on Trent.